Well, in the last leg of this course on breaking the addiction cycle, we've been talking about the rich history of the Oxford Group. Bill Wilson, Dr. Bob, and many other developments that came through Alcoholics Anonymous and other anonymous groups. Alcoholics for Christ in the 1970s. And eventually, Celebrate Recovery that came in 1991 through Saddleback Church and John Baker. Now an international movement, as is Alcoholics for Christ and also Alcoholics Anonymous and many other recovery groups. However, what is very interesting still today is that as I encounter many churches, and I pray, as you're watching this, I pray that in the next 5 years, 10 years, this will not be a problem anymore. What is it? The problem is recovery ministry is not accepted universally or even spoken about or practiced or recognized universally in every church, every denomination. For whatever reason, years ago, with, again, the 12 steps coming out of Bill Wilson and the Oxford Group, and the divergence is like two roads that kind of went off in different paths. Kind of like that poem, Two Roads, Diversion of Wood. Those two roads diverged. And for whatever reason, and I'm sure there are many theories, and for those of you who are watching who are in recovery and you have a sponsor, you've been in recovery, you're sponsoring people and so on, you're going, yeah, no kidding. Here's why. I'm not going to get into that today. But what we want to acknowledge and also cite is that the church never really integrated or brought into, here's the point, did not really bring recovery ministry or recovery itself in that semantic, in that language, the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and all that we now know about the history of recovery into the life, the general life of the church, into sermons, into Sunday school, Christian education through the church, as well as other ministries in the church, having to do with salvation, sanctification, becoming a Christ follower. For whatever reason, it was always something else. We are the church. They are the recovery people. Us, them. Big problem. Big problem. Still prevalent today. And I've been working and doing recovery ministry and interfacing people in AA and also Narcotics Anonymous and other like groups. And I still hear this now in 2019, the same problem. The church does not recognize it completely. Oh, yeah, that's good. It's probably more accepted. It's more, if you would say something about it, they'd say, oh, okay, to a churchgoer. Yeah, I know. I kind of know what that is. What is it again? And still a bit muddy when it comes to what recovery ministry, or recovery rather, in general, is. Unless you're in it. Or you know someone who is. Or you just don't want to go there because of fear. And because, well, I just want to be in denial and I want to be fine, thank you. And not go there at all because of what I might uncover if I actually work on me. Okay. So the 12 steps, part 4. Recovery ministry. Celebrate Recovery gave us a good model of that gives us some mechanics of the how. And the Celebrate Recovery model that we started with at New Community Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, was this, that they have dinner during the first hour of a weekly event, So every week, there's one night a week dedicated to recovery at the church building. In the full environment where people come together to worship, fellowship, and so on. And so that on the night of recovery, of Celebrate Recovery, you'd have dinner at 6 p.m. typically, or whatever time you choose. But the first thing is dinner. The next thing is a Celebrate Recovery worship service. And that involves using, of course, the Bible and Celebrate Recovery material that is now in print and online. The third part of the evening is the support group, peer support, working the 12 steps in an open support group, or with some groups, as the ministry grows, some that are closed because of the sensitive nature of the issues. And that goes for that next hour. After the group time, the model goes that you have that one-on-one fellowship time with dessert, coffee, hanging out, important, and then, of course, go home. And then throughout the week, of course, you have the sponsor that you call, the person who helps you walk through the steps, you have, or an accountability a partner, or both, as well as, of course, you have your things at church that complement Celebrate Recovery, the one night a week thing, given that you are, again, plugged into the general life of the church, as well as another evening or time during the week that you devote to a step study, where you intentionally work through the 12 steps of recovery with the participant guides that are in the Celebrate Recovery curriculum. Well, that was the model that we started with in 1999 as I went from Lake City, Michigan to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and in that year, and then we started with Celebrate Recovery, as I just described to you. And it was a great thing. We also started where I built partnerships with different agencies and people and groups and recovery houses. And in Grand Rapids, we are social work rich. We have a lot of resources, a lot of people getting a lot of services. But everybody's doing their own thing, and I saw that there's a need for collaboration. And that's where community recovery came into play. See, by 2002, I had John Baker, the founder of Celebrate Recovery, and his team come to Grand Rapids to do a one-day conference about Celebrate Recovery. Had 300 people show up. It was a great day. Over 60 churches were represented. It was a good start for a lot of churches. Of course, not all of them went back home and did it, but they got more information and were then coming to understand what Celebrate Recovery was about. And as we went forward, we at New Community Church, as we grew to about a good 200 to 300 people on a Friday night at that time, decided to incorporate as a 501c3 nonprofit organization here in the United States, and of course better known as an NGO in other countries, but a nonprofit organization. And we had to get a name and put a name together to reflect who we were. And we thought, well, let's just use Celebrate Recovery as part of the name. Found out we couldn't because Celebrate Recovery is trademarked at that time. And they just got it done at the end of 2002. By 2003 and 2002, we were incorporated. It was all good. And we had to come up with a different name. And so community was part of the name and recovery was part of what we did. So community recovery. And we were doing things overseas. Community Recovery International. That became our name. But what we did was, because we were doing things a little differently than the Celebrate Recovery trademark, we ended up not calling it Celebrate Recovery anymore. Although many of our people, and we still do today, still call us Celebrate or Celebrate Recovery, or and then finally, oh yeah, Community Recovery. That's what we have, what we're called now. But what we found was this, and here's my point. We found a need to reach out and bridge. Our vision is to bridge recovering people, which is all of us, to God through Christ, the true self, made in the image of God, and the community to give back as a mission, as a ministry, as a model. And a big part of our model and philosophy is that we as a ministry partner with the local church, because the local church needs to be that place where we can then bring others to Jesus and also into a recovery process of restoration. So given that vision and also premise and also mission of receiving people where they are, restoring them to Christ and returning them to the community where they give back, hence step 12, overall, you know, doing a lifestyle of restoring others in a non-codependent way and in an interdependent way with good boundaries and great support, ideally from God's people, the church. We then blended. We built a blend, and we still do this today. We blend what you could say celebrate recovery groups with, or Christian support groups with the 12 steps and the biblical comparisons with AA groups, and also, or an AA group, and also Emotions Anonymous group, a Narcotics Anonymous group, and other anonymous groups, just because that's what people know. That's what they understand. So for in our experience, in now getting into the how does the church bring those who up front obviously are struggling with addiction in an acute manner, in an obvious way, into the church where we can bring them to Jesus, and that's a matter of evangelism, it's a matter of relationships, it's a matter of again, recovery, a matter of then restoring people, and of course, building healthy relationships. It's all together. Because back 20 years ago, my leadership team of that time and I noticed that we needed to build partnerships and collaborations with other groups. No one knew what a celebrate recovery was at that time because it was still rather new. And we needed to introduce the fact that Jesus Christ was going to be the center of what we did with recovery in general. Whether we had an AA group there that night or a Christian recovery group that night. And we have many different groups. Now, in addition to a Christian recovery group that deals with alcohol substance abuse, we also had a grief recovery group. We also have a depression recovery group. We also have other groups that met the same night at the weekly event alongside of the anonymous groups. Hence, God did the miracle. God did it. He brought everything full circle together for us. And what was interesting, too, was that a lot of our AA people who knew AA, a lot of our Narcotics Anonymous people who knew NA, thought, and many of them being believers themselves, thought, this is really great. We can do AA as we know it and NA as we know it and bring it back to the source. Bring it back to Jesus. Because He is our all in all. Yes, we go over the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and also the other things that come along the way. There's a little booklet called Just for Today with these anonymous groups in their curriculum, which is wonderful. Good frameworks. Good stuff. But then again, bringing it back to Christ. And that is where, in our experience, we found that to be very helpful. And as a result, we have now been able to bring this blend, this combination, innovation, to four other countries as an international movement. Currently, we're in Kenya, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and India. As well as, we want to break down the us versus them, the us and them problem, because we want to do this. We want what the church can be. The church can be this. And over the years, we've been involved with reentry ministry. What do I mean? Reentry from jail, prison. So your church family becomes that receptacle, becomes that welcoming environment and place at the place you meet, where there's already a recovery ministry, where there's already been a group of people ready to sponsor, to mentor, to support those who are coming out of jail, serving their time or prison, and getting reorientated, restarted in the community. It takes a lot. It really brings the church back with the recovery ministry, back to what it's supposed to really be. Not about making it a great worship service on Sunday, that although it's part of it, because you want to have a great worship service as a way of connecting people to God in a great first step, but then bring them into the discipleship process. Discipleship, pointing them to Jesus, restorative process, so it's full circle and back to the worship again, wherever we are as believers. So, in our experience, we've been involved with the Healing Communities Movement, started by Dr. Dean Trulier, out in Baltimore, Philadelphia, D.C. area, here in the United States, and also other church networks, building church networks. As I speak right now in 2019, here in the fall, we're working to establish other community recoveries, at least with us, in about four other churches now in our local area, as well as, of course, having it being done in the other countries that I mentioned. And we're just saying to them, let us show you how. Here's the how you can do in putting together the recovery ministry. We could talk about it all day and explain the steps of recovery. But at the end of the day, the how is still unclear for many congregations because it's still rather new. Bringing it all into the vernacular, bringing it all into the language of the church and how we live our lifestyle as God's people. And every church has its own culture. Amen. Every church is different. Amen. And we need to work and think collaboratively. For example, I just gave you the weekly event model that Celebrate Recovery blessed us with to just put those things together of the food, of the worship component, of the whole thing with then the groups as well and the Christ-based or the Bible basis now of the 12 steps. And then, of course, from their sponsorship and therefore people helping people. But then bring it more into the fabric of the church so that every church can eventually, like I said, 5 to 10 years from now, hopefully eventually bring everything into the culture of the church. Whatever culture you may have, there's that common speech. So there's a collaboration and bring a 12-step lifestyle in the church where you have your recovery event every week, but also you support other recovery events, other recovery nights as multi-churches within your city, within your town. So every church in town eventually will have a recovery night or a daytime version. And where you can create an inclusive, safe environment and be Christ to provide a non-judgmental environment and place of building healthy relationships. In this course, we've talked about healthy relationships. We've talked about the fact that we need to be inclusive and don't judge. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about that, the plank, the log in your face, and suppose the speck in your brother's eye or sister's eye. No. Jesus says, look to me, and I'll take care of the rest. And with recovery, we also want to create what the church needs to be, a church of recovery, a recovery church, and also with the how, we then blend in, we pull together ministry and mental health. Now some of you are thinking to yourself, wow, mental health, isn't that something that social workers do? Actually, if you look at mental health, we all need to admit that mental health has to do with me, you, us, all of us. We all have issues. We all need restoration. So let's bring it all to the forefront in the church experience, in being God's people, where two or three are gathered, Christ is there and recovery is there. Where 500 gather, Christ is there and recovery is there. Or 1,000, or whatever, however big your church may be. Maybe it's 30 people. And maybe you can see, and that's also a great opportunity for church growth. Inviting new people, say, it's okay, y'all come. Just come on in. And then you have 31 people. And then you have 35 people. And then you have 40. And then more and more, God uses you to make a difference. Because you're saying, it's okay to admit your issue. It's okay to come into recovery. And here will hold your hand. But then God will change and transform you. And God will use you to help someone else. And I like to put it this way. Make it okay to be not okay. Make it okay, acceptable, to be not okay. Or not to be okay. Because we're all in a form of reentry. We all need to be empowered with God's help. As we're empowered by God's help, we then become more and more what God wants us to be. So God will use you and use me to bring Christ to someone who's lost and needs His restorative touch. That means eternity. Because too often, when it comes to church, people have their own ideas, they have a preconceived notion, but the more we bring recovery, the 12 steps integrated with the Bible, we then have opportunity to demonstrate, model, show, be intentional of helping others experience hope. Hope. So consider the Celebrate Recovery model. Consider a blended model that I shared with you, where we have the AA groups as well as the Christian recovery groups. Or maybe you just want to have AA in the church building and NA building, but you have a connection with them. And yes, I could probably say right now that it's because of how the 12 traditions in AA have said we have no religious affiliation or no political affiliation. Some of you AA people watching are going, yeah, see, that's it. Uh-huh. Okay. However, there should have been still a bridge, a connection. And we can be that bridge and connection. So that Jesus Christ is at the center. He is our higher power. He is the one who then does it all. So that we can then bring AA back into the church, bring Narcotics Anonymous back into the church, bring recovery in general back into the church. Because Christ is the source. That's the vision. That's also the mission. That's also the strategy and also the how in doing it. And there are many tools out there to help you do just that. So, consider the 12 steps, the biblical comparisons. Consider building relationships with other churches and also other people in the recovery community that can become part of the Christian community. You'll find many are already a part of the Christian community, the church. They just need the invitation to say, come on in, and we can go forward in Jesus' name. Amen.